As you know, we've been just handling a prayer for a while, and we looked at intercession of prayer a couple times in a row. And there's a record in the Old Testament in the book of Esther that even though it literally doesn't, the book of Esther literally does not use the word God in it anywhere. He is completely hidden in the book of Esther as far as being named or shown or showing direction. But he certainly was not hiding in the book of Esther. God is all over this thing. And it's a great illustration of the power of intercessory prayer, because as we will see, when they prayed, and the times that they prayed with great intensity was when they put on sackcloth and ashes. And as we know, sackcloth and ashes is when they would deals with mourning. They often did it when they were in mourning of somebody or in great derision towards their circumstances where they needed deliverance of some sort. And it was an outward expression of their complete devotion to God, to looking for their need to be met. And they often would not eat during that period of time, showing their commitment to just the only thing they were going to concentrate on was going to God in light of their circumstances. And we're going to see that here in this book. And in those times, we know for sure they were beseeching God in prayer for their circumstances. But these people were believers, and surely in their day-to-day lifestyle they prayed. But it's an incredible record of deliverance. And I'm sure you've all read this book one time or another, maybe numerous times. It's just an incredible record. And it's true. I was looking into some history of it, and it said that many historians and scholars, Bible scholars, don't think it happened. But I believe it happened, and God wouldn't have had it recorded for his word if it didn't. So we're going to read, just kind of read it, but we're not going to read the entire book, but we will be reading a good majority of it. So it's, we're going to start in Esther chapter 1, verse 1, to get the sense of what's going on. And of course, it's in the context of the children of Israel. They were not living in Judah anymore. They were under the rule of other kingdoms, the unbelieving people of different nations, and this was one of them. And so we're picking it up. Verse 1 of chapter 1. So it says, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus," this is Ahasuerus, "which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces," which is a huge area, "that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles of princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 84 days." So they did this for 180 days, a half a year, basically. Just incredible. That's a long time to be partying. "And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace." Verse 9. "And Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house which belongeth to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the king, heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuim, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagatha, Zethar, and Carus, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore the king was very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And next unto him was Karshina, Shethar, Adonima, and these other peoples that counseled him. Verse 15. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And Memushkin answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which had heard of the deed of the queen, thus shalt thou arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the law of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all the empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. So they wanted to put a squash on this. You know, the queen can do this. We're all in trouble. So they come up with a solution. Chapter 2, verse 2 said, then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hegi, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things be for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleases the king to be queen instead of Vashti, and the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Gerar, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadesha, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Hege, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hege, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best of the house of the women. Esther had not shown her people nor her kindred, which means she did not show that she was a Jew, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go to the king, Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of women, for so were the days of the purification accomplished to wit, 6 months with oil and myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. It's a long time. Now, in the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her and made her queen instead of Vashti. So, you know, when all these different people, including the king, had favor towards her, very similar to when Joseph was brought into chains and put in the prison down in Egypt, and he found favor in the sight of the man in charge of the prison. God worked in the circumstances that this woman, Esther, was more favored than the rest of the people. Verse 18. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet shown her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. So even though she became queen, she was still carrying out that which she had been taught and which she knew was God's will. Verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth, and sought to lay hold or hand on the king of Ahasuerus. And the thing was made known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Now this is interesting, it comes up. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. So two people had been elevated out of nowhere. One was Esther, who was a God-fearing woman, and the other was Haman, who became the king's right-hand man, so to speak, the number two. And Mordecai, it says, he just would not bow to him, would not show reverence, even though the king wanted it. And there's got to be a reason, because this is what causes all the problems in the future. And you can stay where you are, but I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 17. There's a record where children of Israel are going through the wilderness, and some people warred against Israel. And in Exodus 17, verse 8, it says, And then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Amalek is the Amalekites. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Verse 13. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So these Amalekites, for whatever reason, were contrary to what God wanted. And when they saw God's people traveling through the wilderness, they tried to kill them. And God said, I'm going to utterly destroy these people. They are contrary to heaven, so to speak. So it moves through, and then also in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when Saul became king, Samuel, the prophet by revelation, gave Saul a very specific demand to take care of the Amalekites by revelation. This is a very familiar verse of chapter 2. But chapter 15, verse 2, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. So this is Samuel speaking by revelation. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And the reason is these people stayed as enemies to God's people. And God's trying to wipe them out. And, Saul goes and he takes care of all the people. But verse 8, it says, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And he also saved the best of the sheep and the animals for sacrifice. And then Samuel comes up to him and says, how come you didn't do the will of the Lord? He says, oh yeah, I did the will of the Lord. But in this incident, Saul lost his, from God's point of view, his kingship over Israel because he disobeyed. And ended up Samuel had to kill Agag later in the chapter. Now back to chapter 3 of Esther, in verse 1, it says, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. He was a descendant of King Agag, who was an enemy of God and God's people. So Ahasuerus had promoted a woman not knowing of her background, that she was a believer of the one true God. And he also promoted a man who was of the lineage of a group of people who were contrary to God and hated God and his people. So both of them rise to power. And Mordecai knows about Haman's background, knew what his lineage was, knew who he was, and when the king's commandment was, you're gonna bow down when you see him and do reverence, he refused to do so. He was like, no, not bowing down to this man. He hates God and is a hater of God and God's people. So that's kind of the context. Verse 3, then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now when it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. For they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So it wasn't enough for him just to take care of Mordecai. He wanted to get rid of all the Jews. His true colors are obviously showing. Coming to pass. In the first month, verse 7, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is in the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer or allow them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand, gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province, and the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof. And to every people, after the language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed, understandably so. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. And understandably so. He knew what was coming down the pipe. And came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. A number of months ago, we looked at the word fasting in the Bible and saw how fasting literally means, the word in the Hebrew literally means to cover your mouth. And the covering of mouth was so that you can wholly concentrate in your prayer and dedication to God. And the covering was so you were not even willing to eat food, which is your most basic necessity, food and drink. And you're not even willing to do that. You're going to so concentrate on the need you're bringing before God Almighty that you're going to cover your mouth and not even allow food to come in. And that's what they're doing here. They realize they're all going to die in one day, in an appointed day. And that's certainly something got them all going and praying to God and, you know, mourning and being in sackcloth. Verse 4. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe, raiment or clothing, to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Haman, for Hadak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hadak went forth to Mordecai into the street of the city, which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him of all that was happened unto him, and the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hadad came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hadad and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from some other place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth," this is a great question, "who knoweth whether there thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast for me," this is a prayer, "and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nor night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Boy, what a woman. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Wonder who had an influence on his thinking. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom." And Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." So she's still not telling him what's going on. Then the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed." Then answered Esther and said, "My petition and my request is, if I found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said." She must have been directed by God, because it's just an unusual plan here. "Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and of the multitude of the children, and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow I am invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the king pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. On that night, now this is incredible, God working. He's hidden in the scriptures here, but he's not hiding from doing things. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king of Hasrath. And the king said, what honor and dignity had been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. So of all places for that guy to start reading, he reads about what Mordecai did to save the king's life. Talk about coincidence. Just God's working in these circumstances. And then verse 4, next morning, and the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. So Mordecai is a subject of both the king and Haman here. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, well, to whom would the king delight to honor more than myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king uses to wear, and the horse that the king rides upon, and the royal and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. That sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Talk about switching roles. Hey, incredible. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther, on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my peace, held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. So she's now revealing whom she is, lineage-wise, and who her people were. Verse 5, then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. No, it's just the three of them there. And the king, arising from the banquet of the wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbonah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. It's quite a turn of events. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. So again, she's taken a chance of having died by walking into his presence. And said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seemeth right before the king, and I be pleasing in his sight, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil which shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him that have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and the deputies, and rulers of the provinces which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback, and riders of mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together, and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given to every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed upon by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast, and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. And the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them for the fear of them that fell upon all people. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers and kings helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. And Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went throughout all the provinces. For this man, Mordecai, waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. So that's quite a record of God's great deliverance to those Judean believers that were in captivity in an unbelieving nation. And it's amazing to see how God, or how the king had elevated Esther as queen that came out of nowhere, but she was a believer, and then elevated Haman. I don't know where he came out of, but in one day he became second in command, had all the authority that the king wanted to give him. But he was a enemy of God and God's people, and his true colors came out quite quickly. And how God could flip those whole circumstances of not only Haman, but the entire supposed devastation of all the Jews. And what we see throughout that was the prayer of those believers to going to God with great prayer and request, and believing to reverse the circumstances, to keep them out of harm's way, and that God's people could prosper. And things did not look good. You know, I hate to receive a thing in the mail or see it in the newspaper that all believers, wherever they reside in this country, are going to be executed on such and such a day. You know, it's not a pleasant thing to hear. So, again, that enemy that God had in Amalek back in the time when Moses and the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness, that enemy was still active for many, many, many decades and raised its heel in this circumstance, and yet God was still able to bring great deliverance. And so that intercessory prayer that we do for one another, for the things that God's people need, it's just big, really big. Look how God flipped that thing around. Just by prayer, going to God, believing what God's promise was, and flipped a scenario that's just incredible, absolutely incredible. And Mordecai ends up being second in charge of the entire provinces. It's just amazing to me. So we should always just, you know, recognize in our heart how big our intercessory prayer is and what God really does in performing and taking care of those prayers. And sometimes the world seems so big, and it is big. Sometimes the darkness of the world is looks so powerful, and it is powerful. But it doesn't top that which God has. In the long run, the devil will be destroyed. Powers of darkness will be destroyed. In the meantime, he tries to throw his darkness around wherever he can. But God does protect. God does strengthen. God does heal. And in this case, he flipped the circumstances like a pancake in the pan. Just whoosh, there it goes. So we do have a great, big, wonderful God. It's so powerful. And very thankful that we do get to pray and to realize how big prayer really is. So, and we do have some really weird times right now, not only in our nation, but around the world. There's a lot of weird stuff going on behind the scenes that I don't know if anybody knows exactly what's happening, but a lot of it is not good stuff. And our prayers, even though we may not know what's going on, our prayers in intercession, speaking in tongues, makes a major difference. And God's intent is that his people are blessed and taken care of and preserved. Man's going to do what man wants to do. But God is protecting his people. And he does so in many great ways. So, it's wonderful, wonderful. We have a lot to be encouraged by just from this wonderful record as an example to us. So, a lot to chew on. But it is amazing how that man, Haman, rose to power so quickly, and yet God was able to flip the circumstances on his life. And got what he deserved.